بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه ومن اتبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We are here today and we are doing the tafsir of Surah Yusuf. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Before we start the class, I would like to make an announcement about a friend of mine, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Abu Khalil Sylvester Jad, Abu Jad. Awa. So it's come to my attention that Abu Khalil has passed away, Rahimahullah. Now, many people may not know who Abu Khalil is. Abu Khalil, we used to call him the Albani of America. Abu Khalil is a white guy, Italian guy, skinny guy. And he's from Philly. Now you got to be a wild guy, be a white guy from Philly. And, you know, he was married to a black woman for many, many years. His wife passed away. She's the mother of all his children. And so he's from the hood, you know, and he accepted Islam. And he got under the tutelage of Muhammad Jibali. Now, Muhammad Jibali, Sheikh Muhammad Jibali, was one of the founders of the Quran and Sunnah Society. And so, under his tutelage, and you see this, he was the protege of Muhammad Jibali. If you saw Muhammad Jibali, you saw Abu Khalil. They were together all the time for years. And in this light, they gave da'wah to the whole English-speaking world, United States, Canada, you know, Australia, about what was the sunnah, okay? About Isbal, he wrote a book about Isbal in the early 90s, when keeping your pants above the ankles. And I'm talking about Abu Khalil. He wrote little pamphlets and we promoted them and sent them out. He wrote maybe about 35 books on the Sunnah. You can Google them. Then he wasn't done. All this time he's learning hadith from Muhammad Jibali. Then Muhammad Jibali moved to Saudi Arabia and QSS, the Quran and Sunnah Society, moved to Detroit. When we were in Detroit at that time, there's a Hamtramck and there's another community, Dearborn. Then it moved to Canada, Toronto, that part. Abu Khalil then moved himself also to Saudi Arabia. I went to Mauritania. He went to Saudi Arabia. We both wound up working for Darus Salam, the book company. We worked together and we were both working with Sheikh Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Mubarak Fouri Rahman, the one who wrote the book Rahiq al-Makhtoum. And he was in charge of making sure we did our work properly. And so Abu Khalil was in charge of making sure all the hadith and all the narrations in Ibn Kathir were correct and were translated correct. And he sewed the language together of the different translators so it sounded like one person. So if you want to know who Abu Khalil is, when you read Ibn Kathir in English, you are reading the work of the edited work of Abu Khalil. Every time you see in there where he mentions about a Sahabi or a Tabi'in or a mention about the Hadith, the commentary, every one of those languages is the actual language of Abu Khalil. He put it in there. I remember when he first edited it, he took out all the weak Hadith. And the manager, Abdul Malik, he called him and said, what are you doing? Why did you take all these hadith out? He said they were weak. Well, Sheikh Mubarak 40 put them in there. He says they're weak. You try to tell me you know more than Sheikh Mubarak 40. He said they're weak. So he said, stay here. He called Sheikh Mubarak 40 into the office. He said, this young man, and it was this whole thing because we were converts. I was in charge of the research department. I was project manager. I had to make sure everybody's project was finished for the research department. So I was overseeing everyone, making sure that all the research was done for everything we put out. He was in charge of making sure all the hadith were narrated correctly and that they were authentic. And if it was an athar, it was attributed to the right person. Sheikh Mubarak 40 came into the office and said, this young man, this convert, he's over here saying that these hadith are taken out because they're weak and you put them in. He said, you didn't tell me that they all had to be authentic. You just told me to put them in there. And so you're saying that he's correct? He said, yes. He's looking through it. He says, this is all correct, like that. After that, nobody questioned Abu Khalil. They started calling him sarcastically Albani. Oh, here comes the Albani. Here comes the Albanian. Because he's a white guy too. So it's a double because Albani, you know, stuff like that. And Albanians are albinos, right? They're white people, you know, or so they call it off-white, whatever you want to say. The point is, no one questioned him after that. So then what happened next? All you have to do is Google Sahih Muslim, English, then Google Tirmidhi, then Google Ibn Majah, then Google all of them, except for Sahih al-Bukhari, and all of them on the cover. Just look at the images, and you'll see final review edited by Abu Khalil Silvestri. Every last one of them, okay? He is the one. This is who we're talking about. My man. He did the tahqiq and the review of every one of the books of the Sunnah. The only reason he didn't do Sahih al-Bukhari because it was done before we got there. Okay? This is Sahih Muslim. Bring up At-Tirmidhi and you can see it there. Bring up Ibn Majah and you'll see it there. Bring up An-Nasa'i and you'll see it there as well. Okay? Final review. And actually, Tirmidhi, he did the whole book himself. Okay? And then we had to go check it for him because he did it. Could you put up there At-Tirmidhi? Inshallah. So, me and him together, I had a trunk, a literal trunk, from the ground probably up to my knee, filled with the hadith that we did. We went through hadith every week. We did at least 80 hadith. I'm talking about with the entire isnad, okay? Going through them, writing about. And if there was some that wasn't a problem with it, then I would go inside that and help make the correction from the linguistic point of view. So you see right here, again, you see his name in there. He did the work. Okay, so you don't get to see him, but you get to hear from him. This is the work of my man, Abu Khalil al-Silvestri. And we're the same age. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So he's a young man. And Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah have mercy upon him. May Allah requite us with people like him. You know, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. One. I don't know anyone in the English-speaking language that has done the work that he has done in hadith. Okay? Not at all. Every year he would come to my, when I lived in Florida, every year he would come to my house and he would spend about a month there, either living inside my house or we would live close by and we would do a dawra every year and knock out the hadith. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We both have our ijazah in the six books of the Sunnah from Sheikh Mubarak 40. Ar-Rahman, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In that regard, Alhamdulillah, mashallah. The time is changing. I just wanted to mention so those people who would know who he was, he moved to Mobile, Alabama. He was a wrestler. He was a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He was also an expert with the bow and arrow. Alhamdulillah, he has a daughter. She's married and has two sons. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And they're all grown. So, Alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy for us and make it easy for him. Alhamdulillah, there's not else, anything else I could say is that, you know, his recorded knowledge speaks for itself. Okay? His recorded knowledge speaks for himself. And, you know, and the sad thing is that, you know, this generation, they try to say, oh, he's off it, and this type of thing. But that's because he never joined none of their cliques. You know, this is the problem. He was busy doing the work, and they're busy taking the work because, you know, they say they don't take from people like them. How can they ever read one of the books? Sunnah.com and all those other things. They're using our translations. Okay? Rahiqul Maktoum, we translated that. Riyadh al-Salihin, we translated that. What do you call it? Bulugh al-Maram, we translated that. We did all those works. And on all of those last three I mentioned, I was the final editor. So this is the work, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah bless him because he died in the sickness, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died in the sickness. So it's one of the best ways to die. What I would like to say to you all is, you know, what's your recorded knowledge? What's your record going to look like? You know, now Abu Khalil has all these works that he's put in English, you know, and all the people he's given da'wah to over the years, and all the people that are continually benefiting from his work to go with him to the grave and continue to be benefiting from him. Okay? What are we going to have? May Allah make it easy for us. Alhamdulillah. Let's jump into our surah, inshallah ta'ala. I want to give us some benefit in the surah. We're in Surah to Yusuf. You know, I have students here who are students of the language. I want to share a point with you. Very important point in my opinion. If you go to the ayah where it says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيصَهُ كُدَّ مِن دُبْرٍ. When you go to the point where Zulaykha and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam are running to the door, and they run, they say Yidha lad al bab, they run into her husband right at the door. Then he says, وَلَمَّا رَأَى. Look at the word ra'a in your mushaf. Someone can tell me the ayah. Ra'a. Anybody got there? Nobody is there yet, huh? It's ayah 28. Go to ayah 28. And it says, فَلَمَّا رَأَى قَمِيصَهُ قُدَّ مِن دُبُرٍ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِن كَيْدِكُنَّ. So the word ra'a is the issue that I want to bring to your attention today. It's ra, hamza, alif, tawila, ra'a. But then we know if you go and you says, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. And that ra'a is Ra, Hamza, right? And it's on an Alif Maksura. Alif that looks like a Ya. What's the difference between Ra'a with an Alif and Ra'a with an Alif Maksura? This is a linguistic. This is the Rasmil Quran. Rasmil Quran is the writing of the Quran. Even the writing of the Quran holds baraka and miracles. Okay? Go to the next ayah. Place the other ayah. You know, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. And you see the ra'a is different. The word Ra'a is in the Quran 13 times. 11 times it comes as Ra'a with an alif, like you see placed here. Falamma Ra'a. And 2 times it comes as Ra'a with an alif maqsura, the alif that looks like a ya. What's the difference? The difference is whenever you're talking about hissiyya, meaning actual sense of seeing, it is with an alif. And whenever you're talking about ra'a, ruhiyatul qalbiyya, meaning it's the spiritual, the heart is seeing it, not the eyes, then it's ra'a, ru'yatul ra'a, ru'yatul qalbiyya, the vision of the heart is with an alif maqsura, the metaphorical seeing. Whereas the physical is with an alif. Check the Quran. Check in all the places you see it. And you will note that falamma ra'a, he actually saw it. Okay? Ra'a burhana rabbi, lawla an ra'a burhana rabbi. He saw the proof of his Lord when he saw her covering up her idol. And the same thing could say about tagha, is tagha al-ma'a. Tagha with an alif is going to be the actual physical water going over it. But when it's a human, idhab ila fir'auna innahu tagha, it's with an alif maqsura, because this is the human extremism, metaphorical, and it's with an alif maqsura. But when it's the tagha al-ma'a, the actual water going over, it's the alif mamduda. Same qaida. So even in the writing of the Quran, we get a lot of barakah, a lot of fawaid, to be able to tell what is actually being said at the moment. So I wanted my students and those people who understand the language to see that there's different levels of tafsir. We can go at it in a lot of different ways. It all depends on the student, what the student can handle, okay? And that shows where the benefit is. So right now we've chosen to point out 100 benefits in this surah, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah allow us to complete more than that. Now I'm going back further where we were yesterday. Okay, so now we are here where we go back to our story, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, where Yusuf's father, Yaqub, he has Benjamin, and he says to them, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال لن أرسله معكم حتى تؤتوني موثقا من الله لتأتنني به أن يحاط بكم فلما آتوه موثقهم قال الله على ما نقول وكيل. So he says, I will never send you, Yaqub says, I will never send him with you until you all give me a strong oath from Allah that you will definitely bring him back to me. Except that you have no way out. You're totally surrounded. So once they had given him their strong oath, he said, Allah over what we have all said here is the wakil. So this begins our lesson in tawakkal ala Allah, that Allah is the wakil, and we have to natawakkalu alayh. We have to put our total trust in him. Now, one of the lessons we want to learn from here, he says to them next, وقال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة. He says, Yaqub tells his sons, Oh my sons, don't go in together. Don't all 11 of you enter into the gates of the city. Because remember, the cities then had walls. And I believe they're going to go back to doing that. Walls around the cities. And there were only certain gates that you can go into. And these gates had guards at those gates. And they were inspecting. It's like going through a toll booth. They want to see who's coming into the city. And if you 11 guys, strange looking men, you're Bani Israel, you're following the deen of Yaqub. So you look different. You're talking different. They may think you guys are a gang. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. And you guys, and he knows how arrogant they are, how physical they are. And they think they're so tough. So he doesn't want them to go in. This is one of the fawaid. He doesn't want them to go in and all together. From this, the ulama tell us that from the asbab, taking from the asbab, the means, does not mean you're not tawakkal ala Allah. Does not mean you're not trusting in Allah by taking by the human means to do a thing. Second, fa'ida is that you should stay away from things that would lead people, yuribu, to distrust you, even if it's okay.